What's up and welcome everybody to the Bros and Consoles podcast, episode 87 on September 5th, 2021. I am one half of your host, Nathan Choquette, a.k.a. your best friend, a.k.a. the conductor of the hype train this week. We going over to PlayStation Land real soon. Whoop! Over across from me, though, Michael's trying to just bewildered over here.
Yeah.
Michael Pinerero, Sonic's number one fan. How you doing?
Oh, I'm doing good. We're going, definitely going to Sony Land for good and bad.
Oh,
good and
what's,
bad.
What's the bad, honestly, when we get to Sony Land? You know what I'm saying? Cameras, maybe? Cameras are bad.
We'll
TVs?
See.
Maybe TVs are bad? I don't know.
There's something.
I haven't had a Sony TV in a while. They're real expensive, you know?
It's just everything's not, expensive.
No good. No bueno. But for people that are, you know, joining in for the first time, as well as returning people, this is a video games podcast where we talk about, like I said, video games. This week, as you can tell, going to be a lot of Sony things going on because we got a showcase coming up soon.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. I'm so excited, Michael. Can you tell I'm excited about PlayStation showcases?
I cannot tell.
I'm not doing a good enough job showing how excited I am.
I don't feel any excitement coming out from you at all.
Dang it. So, small little announcements and updates this week. Obviously, as people may have realized, possibly, we didn't have an episode last week. That was totally my bad. I was going to do a solo episode, and then I think, on Tuesday is when I was off from work, and I was like, okay, now I got time to do this. And then had so many things I had to do for just regular life stuff. And
life
I was like,
happens,
okay,
man.
Well, not working out. Funny story, though. I was planning on doing a Sony rant on Tuesday because I've been annoyed that there's no, word from Sony at all.
Uh-huh.
And then lo and behold, we find out Thursday, hey, guys, next week there's going to be a showcase. And I was like, wow.
There you go.
Good thing I didn't do that episode because it would have aged real poorly in, 2 days.
Read your mind.
Yeah, I know. They read a lot of people's mind over here. But, yeah, so we missed episode last week, so our apologies, my bad. And we will also be talking about kind of updates for, I'd say, short-term future kind of things right now. Because for...
We've been bought out by Spotify.
Yeah, we're being bought by Spotify. The thing that's going on, basically, is that I know for myself, I'm not sure if Michael is going to experience this as well, but eyeball, doctoring kind of stuff. The busy season is going to be starting up basically kind of real soon. It's kind of already starting a little bit. And so to kind of better prepare for that kind of stuff, I'm going to be kind of needing to take a break from podcasting for a bit of time and then coming back probably next year for everything. Just to make sure that I'm not neglecting other duties and trying to fit too much into one schedule.
More important duties.
Yeah. Just because I tend to try to do too much and not have enough time or energy to do it all.
Mm-hmm.
So I got to make sure that I'm kind of, putting things where I need to in terms of priorities and whatnot. And unfortunately, obviously, we do this podcast for fun. So I can't let fun get in the way of work and stuff, which is unfortunate. But just kind of adulting, I guess, 101 or 102, whatever class we're in here. So, yeah, just kind of giving you guys a heads up there. We'll be taking a break from, official episodes and stuff. I may still try and throw out, solo episodes here and there.
Yeah, I could do, my things that I've been doing recently.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Too.
Yeah, and I think honestly, it's probably not going to be, a set schedule it was. I don't think it's going to be, every, weekend you'll get, a new, piece in the podcast kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But, as we're going through games and whatnot, I'm sure we'll be throwing out, hot takes and opinions and things like that for people to just kind of listen to for shorter bursts of time. And then kind of just, leading up into the new year. I'm not sure entirely with the new job when busy season kind of slows down. So we'll kind of play it by ear in terms of kind of the month we come back, whether that's January or February or something.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, just wanted to keep everybody kind of informed and in the loop and whatnot. So thanks everybody for all the support and everything. We're not gone already, but we're getting ready to disappear for a little bit.
The bag's packed.
Yeah. Bags are kind of slowly being packed over here. We're like late packers, Is that a thing? Late packers?
Late packers, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sure that's a thing.
Probably a thing. I don't know if it's a term. I think I'm coining it as a term now, but it's probably a thing. So what we'll be doing is we will have one more kind of official episode either next week or the week after. Playing it by ear because we got family coming and going as they tend to do in the holiday times and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, we'll be having one more episode this month. you know, either in 1 or 2 weeks, and then we will stop it on episode 87 to leave lucky 88 for when we come back in full.
Lucky 88.
You know the that famous lucky eight number from the Chinese mythology and stuff, right, Michael?
Totally. It's the first thing that came to my brain.
Exactly. Yeah. Come on. Everybody knows that. That's why my wedding was on 8/18/18 because all the eights.
There you go.
Gotta have a lot
of
lucky.
Is that eight. Actually true?
That actually was okay. True. Okay. Yeah. It's not. I'm not just messing with you.
Just a weird coincidence.
No, that's true. My wife is part Chinese. Okay. So that was a nice little kind of thing inside there that we had. I could have sworn, and I'm going to out myself for what Michael and I just looked up a little bit ago. I could have sworn that eight was also a lucky number for, like, the Celtic people and, like, elves, which elves, obviously not real, right? Maybe?
No.
Not real.
No, probably not.
But, like, Celtic people, very real,
I
right?
Hear you say, maybe, probably.
I wanted to think for a second. I was like, wait a second. Do people consider elves to be real? I don't know. I've been doing a lot of D&D stuff lately, guys. I don't know anymore. But, like, I thought for at least, you know, for the past several minutes, I was like, I'm pretty sure 8 wasn't a lucky Celtic / elf number. And I think it's actually 9. So
that'd make more sense.
I think, honestly, actually, I'll maybe. Probably hit up my dad later and be like, hey, dad, like,
there you go.
Am I thinking of the right thing? Because he'll probably Scottish? Know. I think we are. Well, actually, let me think. I just actually had. I just Irish. Had the. What do you call that thing? The
Rumspringer.
No, what is the phone at? I just had the 23andMe come back.
Oh,
so all right, here we're going off the rails.
Now remember,
here.
This is a video game.
This
podcast.
Is a video game podcast, and we will be tuning back into that very soon. If I can even find this thing, where is it? Here we go. All right, so I'm just booting
a bunch
this
of
up.
Money, right?
It was like a decent amount of money. Yeah. It was like I think under $100, but you know, it's. You know, it wasn't like pocket change or anything. It's still just like, okay, we wanted to do this cool thing, so let's see what it was. Right. So, all right, Michael, so are you ready?
I'm ready.
Everyone else in the world that's listening is going to hear this at the same time too. So, according to my what they call ancestry composition, right? So, as far as I understand it, right, which I could be a little bit off, you know, if like say that like okay, say just to give an easy one, my mom is full Japanese. And so I am therefore half Japanese, right?
Right.
From my understanding, this ancestry composition thing just kind of talks about where you pull your genetic traits from in terms of like all the different backgrounds that you have, right? Ethnic backgrounds and stuff.
Right.
So just because, you know, a number is different than what you think it would be doesn't mean that you are, you know, not that like 50% Japanese.
Yeah.
Because when I first got this report back, I was very excited because it told me I'm 51.4% Japanese.
There you
and
go.
I was like, it doesn't make any sense, but I like it.
Your dad is actually 0.1% Japanese.
Yeah, my dad is actually like a little bit Japanese. But it's telling me that I basically pull more Japanese features than any other part of my background.
I would have never guessed that looking at you.
I know, right? You would have never guessed it. The funny thing, which is kind of sad for me sometimes, is that like, you know, in the States, people look at me and they're like, oh yeah, you're clearly Asian, right? Mm-hmm. Clearly a mixed Asian, but you're clearly Asian.
Yeah.
I go to Japan, which I consider like, you know, one of my biggest like cultural backgrounds and stuff. And when I get there, they're like, oh, you're clearly white.
You're clearly white. You're not Asian.
I was like, I identify so much with the Japanese people. And then they're like, they look at me and I speak to them in Japanese and they're like, oh, thank you. And I'm just like, gosh darn it, stop talking to me in English. I want to talk to you in Japanese. That's why I'm speaking it.
It's weird. It's weird to see because you definitely look more Japanese than your sister or your brother.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Your brother looks, you tend to look slightly more like you, but your sister definitely, I would say, has more of your...
More of the European side.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the ones that popped up on here, so you know, obviously Japanese was there, 51.4%. I pulled 48.2% European, mm-hmm. and it's kind of broken down into French and German was like 35.7, British and Irish was 4.8, Scandinavian 4.3,
nice.
Finnish 1.1, and then broadly Northwestern European 2.3. And I was like, all right,
no Italian, oof.
Yeah, I don't think I'm Italian. Yeah, but big surprise here, Michael. You want to know what the last one is that actually pulled in here a little bit?
Eskimoan. Is that a thing?
No. I mean, yeah, it is a thing. Okay. What, is that, wait, is, I think that, there, is Native Eskimo, is that Aborigine? Is that the right thing I'm thinking of, or is that something else?
I know Aborigine is Australia.
Ah, okay. That's probably it. But yeah, there is Native Eskimo. I forget what it
is. Is it actually called Eskimo, or is that just a term that America has put upon them.
I don't know. We'll bing this later. I don't want to say it wrong. Figure it out. But the 0.4 in here that I was surprised to find out in what they call trace ancestry is 0.4 North African. So there you go, Michael. Got a little bit of African blood.
Now North African could be like Egypt. I assume
it's like, no, yeah, yeah, that's why. It's like when Greek. They say North African, it's like literally like the continent, right?
Yeah,
it's okay. Not like, there's no country called North Africa.
Yeah.
But that's cool. And I was just like, all right, that was a very like random thing to find out. And it was kind of exciting. Funny story is when I went to Brandon's wedding back in August, I was talking with his brother, and him and his brother and my wife and I were all talking and mentioning that we did the 23andMe thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then he made a joke like, oh man, it'd be funny if you found out that Nathan was part black. That's like, that would be funny. And then lo and behold, here it is, North African. I'm like, all right, there we go. I should probably let him know that he was a little bit right there.
Slightly.
But yeah, I thought that was a little fun thing.
That was cool.
It'd be cool to see what my siblings like pull for that kind of stuff, just to see kind
They'll
of
They'll
probably
where... have slightly different percentages there, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I think that'd be a cool thing to see. But yeah, there you go, guys. That was your... It was not really a plug for 23andMe, but it was a fun thing to do.
Sponsor us.
We don't have any sponsorships.
We have no sponsorships.
I don't even think, you know, like real talk, do you care about sponsorships? Because I don't really care about sponsorships. That's why I've never even sought it out before.
No, like, yeah. If we ever get to the point where, like, we get, like, we're big, then sure. I'm sure we can think about it, but there's really no.
Yeah. In my mind, it's always like, yeah, I mean, people are coming here to listen to us rant about 23andMe randomly for, like, 10 minutes, so...
And the
I
best
assume,
taste in video games. So.
Yeah, in video games. So I assume they're not coming here to listen to ads. Because whenever ads pop up in like anything that I'm watching or listening to, I like skip past it as fast as I can. So it's fine with me if we don't ever have to do that stuff.
Right.
But let's go ahead and get over to the video game side of things,
Michael.
Yeah,
we're talking about video games.
I know, right? We forgot this is a video game podcast. So what do you want to tackle first? You want to talk about things we've been playing first?
We can do that for last.
Okay.
Like we have been the past couple weeks.
We haven't done it for a while, so yeah, let's do it for last then, and then let's go ahead and talk about the spicy stuff. Michael.
Okay,
PlayStation coming up.
Let's talk about the. I feel we should talk about the bad for PlayStation. The whole
we'll get that one out of the way first. Okay, fine, fair enough. So PlayStation, right, doing its money thing, right? Its money grubbing thing.
Yeah.
They are. If I remember right, they are, you know, having the, you know, Horizon coming out next year, right? February, what was it, 22nd or something like that. 15th or 22nd. And when it comes out, it will be $69.99 because that's the, you know, new cost of first party games and whatnot. Also, though, that is the price of regular game and stuff. If you now want to be able to play it across PS5 and PS4, or vice versa, you need to pay for the Digital Deluxe Edition, which is an extra $10.
Mm-hmm.
So I think this is the, if I remember right, this is the first case of this specific type of thing happening.
Yes.
But just kind of showing how all over the map this is in terms of...
I think that's where it comes down to the issue. I think, for me at least, it's... They can do whatever they want with their money, have people pay more and stuff.
Yeah.
But how they've just been so inconsistent in like getting this
message
across.
Michael's making like a snake motion.
Yeah, making like a wavelength thing. And how when you look at Nintendo's whatever, Nintendo does stupid stuff, but look at how Microsoft is just letting people upgrade it so easily with their smart delivery and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And how Sony's just like, and like in a span of like 3 months, they've had to come out with a statement.
Mm-hmm.
Apologizing. Oh, this might have not been the best move. We hear you. Not the best.
Like, I don't know if you hear us.
Yeah, I don't know. This is twice now.
Yeah, because I mean, other examples we've had so far have been basically for games that have already been out.
Yeah.
So it hasn't been a game that is now going to be brand new that is PS5 and also PS4 compatible. So Horizon's going to be the first one of those. But we've had Ghost of Tsushima. Which was, you know, if you already owned the base game, you could still play it on your PS5 via backwards compatibility, but you couldn't play the PS5 version of it.
Right.
For that, you need to buy the upgrade, which is, I think, like $30. And it came with Iki Island, which is, you know, makes the price point, I think, more worth it for that.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the other side where you have Death Stranding, right? Which, again, already out. The PS5 version that's now coming in, you can either buy that fresh, or if you wanted to upgrade from your PS4 to PS5 one, it's an extra like $10.
Mm-hmm. And then the whole Final Fantasy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Final Fantasy, even weirder, that's obviously not first party, but mm-hmm. Final Fantasy 7 Remake, if you owned it digitally, you could upgrade for free. Yeah, I'm trying to think, because it was so complicated.
It's so complicated.
So if you owned it digitally and you bought it, that's the other key, and you bought it, you could upgrade for free to the PS5 version.
Yeah.
The PS5 version, though, didn't come, the free upgrade didn't come with Intergrade, which was the new Yuffie DLC levels and whatnot. So you had to pay, I think, $20 for that portion.
I think portion. So.
And then if you owned the PS Plus version of Final Fantasy VII Remake, you didn't get a free upgrade to the PS5 version, and you therefore had to buy the entire thing for the PS5, which was $70. I'm just like, oh, it's rough. And then, you know, same thing with the discs. If you own the disc, you could upgrade for free disc-wise, but still have to pay for the digital DLC.
Yeah.
And if you take your disc out, you can't play the game. It's like, gosh darn it. Make this thing easy, people.
I hope they just get consistent with it. Like, have a set. Obviously, it's not going to look good, I think, personally, if they take the approach of you have to pay for upgrades, you won't get free ones.
Yeah.
But with like what Microsoft is doing and stuff. But if they stick with like the $10 upgrade that they're now doing with Horizon after they changed it and stuff, consistently do that, fine. People will be accepting of that.
Yeah, yeah. And I think the sad thing is, because of all these like delays via the pandemic and whatnot, is that like we don't know how long this is going to go on for.
Yeah.
Like, we know that now that God of War sequel, right, whatever it's going to be called, because Corey Barlog keeps on hinting it's not called Ragnarok, so whatever, it's like, man.
What are you talking about?
Just give us the title then. But yeah, basically they keep saying that is now going to also be on the PS4 as well. Mm-hmm. And I think also Forza Motorsport 7, the next Forza game is going to be on, or 8, I forget which one they're on. That one's also going to be on the PS4. So like the window of, you know, being on both consoles is getting longer, which means we're gonna have to deal with this for a longer period of time. I just want us to just move over already, but obviously because of supply shortages, we can't do it. And so now it's just like, okay, well, if that's the case, and people that are stuck in the, you know, PS4 side of things, they have to now pay extra on top of the extra that they're already paying to then get like the, you know, access to the PS5 version of the game when they eventually find one. And that just seems like real bad business, like bad taste.
It doesn't sound good, no.
Mm-hmm. Like, I can't imagine that this is engendering like goodwill towards Sony. Whereas, like, you know, like if people that can't find an Xbox console, they're like, all right, well, I buy this thing and it tells me I can just play it on the new version of the game when I get a new Xbox.
Mm-hmm.
For PS5, it's like, all right, I want to buy this and play it on there. It's like, oh, you can play it on there, but you're playing the downgraded version.
Yeah.
It's just like, what's the matter with this situation?
I think I was listening to Games Beat Decide, Jeff Grubbs and Mike Minotti's podcast.
Mm.
And people were asking, like, oh, this isn't that big of a deal. And Jeff Grubbs was like, it kind of is.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, it really doesn't affect, like, Sony. Like, in the long run, they're still going to be making a lot of money and all this stuff, but it does not put a good taste in your mouth when you think about Sony and Microsoft.
Yeah.
When you think of, as this continues along, it's like, when you think of Microsoft, you're like, oh, smart delivery, you get all this stuff, upgrade. You'll think of Sony, like, oh, exclusives and stuff, but then, oh, this mess of, like, upgrading, and you don't get the free upgrade, and then you have to weird PS4 thing is, it's just not a good look.
Yeah, personally. Yeah. And I think honestly, like, you know, there's kind of like the two camps of like, there's people like us that are, you know, in tune with these things for the most part, and we like hear it all the time, and we're just like, oh man, this sucks. Like, we know right away that it sucks. And then there's going to be the people who find out about it, like, you know, way later, like maybe years from now, and they're like, hey, what do you mean I can't play the new version of this game on my PS5 that I finally got after, like, you know, in 2023 or whatever. Like, what do you mean I can't just play it? Like, Xbox, you can just do that. And they talk with their friends, like, can you guys just do this on Xbox? They're like, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, what's wrong with you? And I was like, oh, I don't know. But it just won't let me. So they're just like, they're just upset. And they're like, oh, well, this sucks. And for, you know, in the regular, you know, in regular world for regular people, like they see this kind of thing or hear it and they're just like, oh, this sucks. Why don't I just change over to the thing that's easy? You 100%. Know, and it's like, come on, guys, don't make this an easy like win for
Xbox
for your competition kind of thing, you know. And I'm not saying in the sense of like one has to be winning all the time, right. But like clearly, like there are better decisions to make.
Exactly. And don't take the route of like, oh, since the competition in this case Microsoft is doing it, we don't want to do that. We want to do something different. If it's a good concept.
Yeah, no one's gonna fault you if you decide to adopt it. There may be like snarky people who are like, "Oh, look, Sony's copying Xbox now," and then they'll clearly die out because everyone else will just be very happy and excited.
100%.
And then you know it wins for both ways because then if now both companies are doing the same thing, and one of them is still falling behind the other one, which always happens, right? No one's gonna be equal at the same time. But if one is falling behind and now both are doing the same thing for like that kind of smart delivery type of stuff, then the other one that's falling behind has to find another thing to then bring up the consumers and stuff. So it's a win-win for everybody, guys. Ugh, come on, people.
Don't understand.
Come on, people.
This is why we're not business people, I guess.
This is why I guess like regular people don't lead these companies. But yeah, I can't understand the idea of just like, oh, you know, like we're already like making so much money doing the things this way, so people will continue to pay for, you know, extra upgrades and stuff, and we can just get away with it because we're the winning company and whatnot.
It's almost like the Nintendo approach. We're making so much money as is, we don't have to change anything or do anything. We're just going to keep doing it our way, and we'll continue making money.
Yeah, just like, guys, this type of thinking, I'm sure, has to eventually fall.
Oh, it's good. Like, it has to. You'd think.
Oh, man. There's no way that this will continue on, like, you know, business as usual for just forever kind of thing. Eventually, people will switch places, and then they'll be like, oh, shoot, now we got to do stuff.
Yep.
Rather than that, why not just be proactive about it, you know? Proactively keep your stance as the you know, better performing like console and stuff, and then just stay on top, right? Rather than being like, oh shoot, we're losing now? Oh, what do you mean
people
don't
like this?
Let's change
something now, yeah.
Yeah, it's like, come on, don't be reactive, guys. Be proactive.
I hope when we restart this podcast again, we're not talking about the fifth message issued by PlayStation. we made a mistake here. We're gonna change it now.
I know. And the sad thing is, like, I feel like we're always very hard on Sony because of all these ridiculous things they do and stuff. Even though, like, I, you know, play so many PlayStation games and everything, like, on my PlayStation as much as I can.
Yeah.
I'm just like, guys, I want you to do, like, well.
I want them to do well. They have all the opportunity in the world to do well, and they keep, like, stepping on their foot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I'm not gonna, I don't think either of us are gonna beat around the bush and be like, oh, no, they're doing just fine. Like,
no,
I don't,
not at all.
I don't care if they're doing fine. I want them to be better than that, you know? So, like, just, you know, and it's not even, like, a, like, you know, PlayStation versus Xbox versus Nintendo kind of thing. It's just, like, come on, you can do better than this. It's not hard to do better than that.
No,
just
it's not.
So, yeah, that's our little downer.
Right there.
That's a little downer for Sony.
On brighter news, though.
On brighter news, yeah, because obviously there is cool stuff happening, too. We have a PlayStation conference coming up this week, because we're on it's Sunday, right? Yeah, so this week, Thursday, Michael. 1 p.m. Pacific time. Mm. How pumped are you on
a scale
excited. Of 1 to 10?
Scale 1 to 10, I'll say, like, a 7.
Oh, okay, I'm at, like, an 8.
Okay,
like,
yeah.
Yeah, I think we're similar places.
I wanted to say 8, but I wanna heed slight expectations just in case we don't get anything like, mind-blowing. I'm like, oh, I was expecting something more. But I'm sure overall it's going to be solid. There's going to be some surprises, I can imagine.
Yeah, and I think the main reason that, because I know I think a lot of people nowadays have the idea of like, okay, like we have to like temper our expectations to not be like saddened when like, you know, these crazy things don't happen and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
And I totally get it.
Yeah.
I also just want to be excited all
the time. Oh, no, nothing's wrong with that at all.
So I'm also just like, yes, let's do it. I'm super pumped. Let's go see what's happening. And then if they let me down, I'm like, all right, it's fine. That's on me.
It makes it more understandable since they haven't said really anything. It's like, oh, we're having a showcase, and it said showcase, not or what they normally do. Like
state of play.
Yeah, state of play. So normally like Nintendo or whatever will like give like a little snippet of what they're going to show.
Yeah.
So then you can temper your expectations. This, they're just saying showcase.
Yeah. The only thing I think that they said was like no PlayStation VR 2. Or whatever they're gonna call
it.
I don't think
most people really.
Yeah, I know that's a deep cut for people that are in the PlayStation ecosystem. But But if that's the only thing that they're saying, like, not to expect, then I'm, like, very excited. Because, honestly, like, when because, like, going back to that tempering expectations thing, I think people are, I think, right to do that.
Yeah.
For me, I don't think I'm usually ever just sitting there and being like, oh, man, we're going to get, like, a, you know, we're going to get a God of War trailer with, like, a date and stuff. I mean, actually, maybe Release I do. Maybe I do this, so maybe I'm lying right now. But, like, I don't, like, sit there and just, like, by myself think about it and be like, yeah, we're going to get this. We're also going to get, like, this other crazy thing and, like, 5 new game announcements and, like, 10 release dates for things we know about. And I'm not thinking about it in those terms. I'm just excited. And so, like, when we actually talk on the podcast about this kind of stuff, that's when I probably start to be like, okay, like, what do we think is going to happen? So
that's a fair approach. I get that.
Yeah, I think that's probably how I think about it. And that's why when I'm, you know, when I get there and it's either good or bad, I'm not like, oh, that sucked, I was let down. Yeah. I'm more just like, okay, that was fine. You know, it's whatever.
What is your, I guess this is a good question. What is your biggest, what is the one thing you want the most? Oh, it could be like a game that's rumored or something that you...
I think, honestly, want the most would be the next Spider-Man game. That's probably the thing I would be the most excited for. In terms of, like, because I think, like, in terms of, like, rumors and stuff, I need to see, like, the actual, like, looks of these things rather than just being like, oh, man. Because there are exciting rumors that we keep hearing about and stuff, and I think those would be cool to see, but... without actually, like, seeing it and seeing what kind of changes in gameplay looks like and stuff, it's like a, you know, still kind of like middle road thing for me there. But what about you? What's your excited?
I want, if we get an announcement of a Bloodborne
upgrade
for the PS5, whatever they're going to call it or whatever, I will be happy. I will be satisfied.
Yeah.
It will be even more of a reason that buying a PS5 was a great decision.
Yeah. And spoiler over here, Michael finally got his hands on a PS5 order.
Yeah.
Very excited.
Not my actual hands on it, but.
Yeah. It's coming. It's been ordered.
Yes.
And it should be coming, I think, like, 17th. Actually this month. So,
Later this month.
So, there you go, guys. Now we'll both be in PS5 land and we'll be giving you all the hot deets over there. But. I think, it's kind of one of those things that I hear people talking about the Bloodborne thing, and I'm just like, so man, nice. It would be really cool. I would love to see all the really gross wet environments in Bloodborne on the PS5. I think more cool would be, like, the feel of the DualSense with that.
That would be even cool, too, yeah.
Because I think that would be what, I mean, seeing what they kind of were able to do with, and I haven't even seen, like, a giant amount of the game for Demon's Souls, but, like, seeing what they were able to kind of do with that and... you know, imagining that playing over to Bloodborne as well would be really cool. Now, if it was between Bloodborne, because I can't imagine From Software being the ones to go back and do the kind of, like, remastering or, like, PS5 version of Bloodborne kind of thing, since they're working on
Elden Ring. I was like, blanked on it.
I blanked so hard. I wanted to say Eldest Souls, and I was like, that's not it. That's Elden a different Ring. Game. But yeah, Elden Ring. So, like, they're working hard on that, right? Because it's coming out in, January. Oh my gosh, like, 4 months, basically.
Probably not, though.
No way. You think Elden Ring's going to get pushed?
I've been, Jeff Grubb and Timur, and everyone's like, it's likely that it could still be pushed.
I mean, yeah, I believe it could be. But, like, do people actually think that's going to happen? Wow, dang.
I hope not.
Man, that'd be wild. Like, I expect Elden Ring to be out in January.
I want to believe it's coming in January. I would love that, but part of me is like, I can see it being delayed as well too. But
yeah.
That's another thing.
Yeah, I think part of me, it's kind of like, you know, obviously pandemic has affected people in different ways and stuff, but part of me is like, you know, we've been in this for quite a while now. I have to assume that studios have kind of figured out how to adapt to this. And Elden Ring,
it's a big
game. As far as I know, yeah, it's a big game, but it's not very, like, mocap focused and stuff, right? It's not, like,
no idea.
Like, when I hear people talk about, like, mocap, like motion capture for people, for the acronym kind of thing, or the shortened version, they're not, like, having to meet up in studios to therefore, like, you know, capture the movement of, like, real people with, like, the ping pong ball suits and stuff to, you know, animate the characters. Like, these people are being, like, animated via, like, animators and stuff, right? So, like,
I'm not sure,
and I'm just totally, like, spitballing, because this is what I think is happening with this game,
yeah,
which is why I'm like, how how could this possibly, you know, be slowed down extra?
Mm-hmm.
Especially when they announced the release date. I mean, it's been a few months at least, right?
Yeah.
So it's been a hot minute since the release date was announced. And that gave them plenty of time, you know, since then to kind of like work on this thing. So I have to assume it's going to be like ready at this point.
If there isn't like an announcement at like TGS or anything of some kind, then I think it would be more likely it'll come out.
January 22nd. So I'd be pretty surprised if it gets pushed, but I get people's reservations because so many things have been pushed over the course of these like last couple years that I think everyone is just like, we literally think everything is going to be pushed.
Although I think a lot of it is that we've only seen this first trailer, because the first thing they ever showed was like a small little animated teaser, like a dude hitting a ring. So this is like the actual first gameplay footage.
Because we got that gameplay trailer, and then we got gameplay / cinematic trailer, and then we got the public, but news media has gotten to see
a preview,
and it was 15 ish minutes or so of gameplay. So these things have been slowly coming out, in my mind I'm like, oh yeah, they're probably going to be ready by the time we hit this. So it's surprising to hear that people are very reserved on it. So okay, that'll be interesting to see if it hits though. But
what was your point though? You're going to say, would you either have Bloodborne
so because they're working so hard on Elden Ring, like I have to imagine that like the people that would be doing a remastered or remake, not remake probably, but like remastered version of Bloodborne for the PS5 would have to be someone like Bluepoint.
You would think, yeah.
Which then would be sad for people that are hoping Bluepoint is doing Metal Gear.
Yeah.
So like, which one would you want more from them, a Bloodborne or a Metal Gear?
See, I don't think Bluepoint would be doing a Bloodborne. I don't even know if I would call it remaster. I think it would just be in the same terms of how what they did for Final Fantasy VII Remake, just upping the fidelity and graphics and look of it. I don't think it would be like changing like models and stuff, because I don't think that's what people want.
Mm-hmm.
But I definitely want Bluepoint to do a Metal Gear Solid Remake, because I never played the first one before.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I have an option to do.
I think PS3, you could play the PS1 classic version of Metal Gear 1.
Did the collection have
Metal Gear Solid one?
The one on the Vita? Because I know it had two.
No,
that's where I played three.
It had two and three, and I think Peace Walker was available on there too.
That's right. They didn't have the first one. Yeah. So I haven't played the first one, but seeing the good work Bluepoint does, I would definitely want to see what they would do with Metal Gear.
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah. Yeah, and that's the thing too, is like having Bluepoint come off of Demon's Souls to then move on to whatever their next project is kind of thing. I would assume it would probably, if one of the rumors was to be something, it would probably be the Metal Gear type of thing. Just because, it would be really cool.
It'd be very cool.
But, I mean, the only thing that I played of the first Metal Gear on the PS3 via the PS1 Classic system or whatever was, like, super early, like, 15, 20 minutes of the game or something. Uh-huh. And I was, like, I was honestly, like, because I've played, Splinter Cell and other, like, stealth games and stuff. I was honestly blown away that, like, this game had stealth mechanics in it that I haven't seen in any other game since then. I was like, what's the matter with new games if they're not coming out with stuff like this?
This is good.
Because, like, the thing that blew me away was the, what's it called? You do the, kind of opening thing where you have to sneak by guards and whatever. So, I mean, one thing that blew me away from that was just like, oh, like, weird. This isn't really a stealth game because there's no option to go up and like choke people out. You have to use like your pistol to, I think, either like knock them out. No, it wasn't even knockout. It was just lethal rounds.
Mm-hmm.
So you just use it to just, shoot people, or you sneak around them. So it's literally just sneaking.
Right.
But, you get through this like opening area to like an elevator, and it brings you up and kind of see the whole like, scene play and whatnot for the opening stuff. And then you get up to the top, and you're in this, like, snowy outdoors kind of area. Snow, like, all covering the ground out there, and there's some guards walking around. I go to start, like, sneaking again, and then as I'm going, I'm like, okay, a guard is, like, he's going around this, like, large, I don't know, we'll say, like, a large, like, wall or something like that. Large round wall. So I'm going to start going, as he's going around that way, because I started on, like, one end of it, he started on the other, and then we're kind of making it circles like directly across from each other.
Right.
When he got to the area that I had started from, he saw my footprints in the snow.
Oh, that's so cool.
And then I heard like a little like that famous like noise kind of thing, like what's that? And then he starts to run not run, but he like sees it and he's like, what's that? And then he starts to follow me. And I'm like, what the heck am I supposed to do? So I start to like go, and he's just now following the trace of my footsteps. And I was like, oh my gosh, I don't know what is happening here, but this is pretty wild.
That's really cool.
So that's why I was like, I hit that and I was like, man, how is it that this game, which is like, you know, decades old at this point, has things in it that other stealth games don't have, which is just wild to me. So I'm just like, yeah. If they could add extra things in here and like polish it up and whatnot to make it not look like polygon garbage and whatever, like, it would be amazing.
I'd be curious to see what they would do with the hill, because I never played it. The what's that? There, I can't think of the character. It was the one, I'm sure you've heard of it. The dude, the floating dude. The
mask. Yeah, Psychomantis.
Psychomantis, yeah, where like you would have to plug in your controller to the player 2 port. I want to see how, like, what they would do with that kind of stuff.
Yeah, that would be an interesting kind of thing to figure out. Because, yeah, if you have to go through some wild manipulation to try and, like, change things over like that. Because I think by now, most people that have, you know, either heard of the game or played it kind of know of that like weird thing that they did back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
And to find something new to kind of like spice that up with would be a cool thing. But yeah, I don't know I feel like in some games when they make you, you know, quote unquote, like confused or something, your buttons are all reversed and things, and that's already like, you know, super disorienting and frustrating. But yeah, to find something like that to do for this game and like a remake would be cool.
You have to go to the store and buy a whole new console.
Or you have to go and get like a pin from, like, so there's like a literal, I don't know if they have it on the DualSense, but I think the PS4 controllers right behind the one of the triggers, I think, is a small opening where you have to stick like a paperclip in if you need to like soft or hard reset your controller. Mm. And if you had to go and do something like that to then repair it, I'd be like, oh man, this would be nuts.
That would be cool.
But yeah, it'd be very interesting that way. Now, besides those things, since we know that like, you know, there's cool things that we'd be excited about, is there anything else that like you pretty much expect to be over at this showcase, Michael?
Expect. I'm sure they'll talk more. They'll give another Deathloop trailer.
Oh gosh, I hope not. It's just about out, guys. Yeah, no way.
I'm sure they'll, I can imagine them, the, like we said, God of War, they'll probably do a Horizon trailer of some kind.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it's short. I could see them going into Stray maybe a little bit.
Oh, okay.
They showed that one trailer at Annapurna's thing.
Yeah, and that was a pretty lengthy trailer too.
It was a pretty lengthy trailer for sure. But what other things are in the
pipeline? I kind of almost think that they must be thinking about showing like Gran Turismo in there and stuff.
Yeah, probably Gran Turismo.
We haven't heard or seen anything from that for quite a while. And then, yeah, in terms of like other things, like I'm kind of expecting, you know, things like God of War to appear, Spider-Man hopefully to kind of be like one of the really cool things in there. Mm-hmm. But I'm kind of expecting like more announcements of other games as opposed to like things that like been, you know, sequels that we're expecting kind of thing.
Could be what Naughty Dog's working on.
Yeah, like I hope it's going to be something that they're working on that's not just like in the Last of Us like universe kind of thing. I'm just kind of just like, okay, just give us something fresh,
make
you know,
a different version, make not a realistic,
make a new
game.
Thing. Yeah, make something that's not so dark and sad and stuff. But yeah, I mean, in terms of just like, you know, they said roughly 40 minutes. I'm like, that's
a big chunk.
Like if most of these trailers are like, you know, 3-ish minutes, maybe 4 at the tops, so that's still like, you know, room for like 10 plus type of things there for that specific length. And they're not all going to be that length. So
no, yeah.
It'll be exciting.
Silk Song for sure will probably be the ending announcement.
For sure, yeah. If it's, they're stealing it away from Nintendo over here to go.
They're
and
not
do
doing
that.
Anything.
Nintendo did them dirty last time, you know. Tell them it was coming out soon, that's why. But yeah, I'm excited for that though. Yeah. I don't know, you know, if it's, I mean, I'll probably have to watch it like later that night kind of thing, and so hopefully I'll be able to avoid like spoilers on the way home and everything. But yeah, I'm very excited to just see what happens for PlayStation over here.
Hopefully it's good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very 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 hopeful there. Now Michael, what have you been playing lately?
A couple games, mostly on the Switch.
Mm-hmm.
One I bought,
Necro Barista.
Barista, yeah.
Ah,
it's nice. Again, I'll preface this. If you're not a fan of visual novel
uh-huh.
S games like like what is that, Valhalla, the barista, or the
The coffee shop,
the coffee shop, Coffee Talk, or Valhalla, the
oh, she was a bartender.
Bartender, right? Yeah. Bartender one. This game is probably not for you, so take my thoughts on it with a grain of salt, but I love it. It's I love the art style. I like that 3D cartoonish model.
Yeah, yeah.
It's weird. I didn't realize it was an Australian game.
Oh. Because
they say mate a lot and Australian slang and stuff.
Okay, okay.
But it's basically they're, I don't know the full story. I've only gone like a couple, like an hour or two into it.
Mm-hmm.
But the setting is you're not playing as a character, you're just watching the story. It takes place in a coffee shop that is basically the almost like a border between life and death.
Yeah, yeah.
So you have like real life people in there that just come in, and then you have people who've just died there. Mm-hmm. And they have, I think, 24 hours. I think it's 24 hours before they pass on, and this is their last stop and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know like what goes into. There's like one main character that you're following as he comes into the coffee shop. I'm sure his story will get more convoluted, and the baristas and the owners of the shop, their story is pretty deep, it looks like, but the setting's very relaxing. It's
okay,
right up my alley.
Is there any kind of like mystery or intrigue going on in terms of like what's it called, like it seems like someone's trying to break the rules of like going back to life kind of thing, like, cause that's kind of the vibe that I sometimes get with this type of like looking at this thing where I'm like, oh, there's got to be somebody in here who's trying to break the rules and go backwards.
But I
don't know if that was where it seemed like it was leaning or not.
Not hit a point on that yet, so there could be like later in the story, but there is something behind, because the main girl, the main barista, I can't remember her name.
Yeah,
but she's off.
Melanie.
Yeah, sure. But she's trying to like pay off a debt of some kind to like some like overseers or whatever.
Okay, okay.
That like can't be paid off or whatever.
Oh, so she's like in like a what's that game? Freedom Wars. She's in a Freedom Wars loop over
it's
here.
it kind of seems like that. And then like her one barista friend has been alive for like hundreds of years or something. He's like, I'm trying to help you, but I'm like stuck with you or something. So there's definitely something.
Okay. Like, okay.
I don't want to say evil going on, but something more.
A little bit like sinister. Yeah.
Is developing into the scenes, but I've heard it's a shorter game, which is totally fine with visual novels. Okay. But this is one that I'll just play. Like when I have like nothing to do, I'll just pop it on and just like relax. It's great.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. I bought this too because I think it was on sale when it first came out, and it was just a surprise. I was so mad that like the game came out, and I was just like, gosh darn, I wanted to put this on my draft.
Yep.
But yeah, when it came out, I was like, okay, well, I'll pick this up, and then I haven't touched it yet. But when I played a little bit of, I think Coffee Talk is what it was called. Coffee Talk,
so good.
Yeah, it was a super relaxing kind of feel and everything. I mean, what, like the lo-fi music going on in the background and just trying to make coffee art and being horrible at it. But like, yeah, if this is that type of thing, but in also like, you know, like you said, like a short kind of version, I'd be like, okay, that's cool. I expected this to be kind of a longer game, which is why I haven't touched it yet.
Mm-hmm.
So that's good to know at least.
Second, I've gotten into shmups.
Okay, yeah, I was gonna say, I was just looking at this because Michael has his screen on. This thing called Lightning Force.
Yeah, Lightning Force. It's
Quest for the Dark Star.
The American or the English version of Thunder Force. Have you ever heard of Thunder Force 4?
Okay, okay.
So it's basically what it is, the English translation of it. But I follow this guy on YouTube, Happy Console Gamer, that has gotten me into these shmups. I'm like, oh, I remember before I used to play a couple of them, but I was never like, oh, this is whatever. But
yeah,
I got that one, and then I got Devil Engine, which I heard about before.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just games you just turn on and just shoot things.
Yeah.
They're super freaking difficult,
mm-hmm.
but banger music. Good gameplay, super fun visually.
Yeah.
See, these are almost like for how roguelikes are me, like how I have a bunch of roguelikes.
Oh, okay.
This could be the next thing where I just buy a bunch of them and just jump into them whenever I want.
Yeah.
Kind of thing.
Yeah, I think the only time I ever remember playing shmups a lot is in like the arcade.
Yeah.
So that's like, I think maybe like a handful of like games like that, and I just haven't played much. Probably the last one I played that I guess you'd probably count as like a shoot 'em up kind of game would be Resogun, I think.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's probably like one of the last ones that I played, other than maybe the random, like, what do you call that? Like, Full Burst or something, one of those like platinum, easy platinum games kind of stuff. But yeah, like I liked those kinds of like gameplay where you're trying to move around super fast and shoot stuff and just kind of constantly scrolling through. But yeah, I haven't played something like that in a long time.
They're very mindless games.
Oh yeah, yeah. This, now that I thought about it, I was like, this is actually your favorite type of shooter.
Yeah,
looks like this. That makes, there we go.
It's just like a full screen. I'm just shooting at things. That is my ideal shooter.
Yeah, there you go, man.
But the last one is, I don't know why I stopped this. I think it's when I actually got my job.
Yeah, yeah.
Back last year in August,
when they actually started working.
When I actually started working stuff. And had a job when I was unemployed. So I just lost interest, I guess, or just forgot about it.
Mm-hmm.
But I jumped back into Bayonetta 2, and man, I beat it, and this series is so good. I love this series so much. I think I like Bayonetta 2 more, and it might be, if I thought about it, in my top 10
games. Wow, dang, that's crazy.
The gameplay and the music and the characters are, I think, better than 1.
Okay.
But 1 has a better story, I think. Like the ending boss fight and how it like happens and stuff is slightly better than 2. 2 has 2's ending boss fight is kind of lacking compared to 1. Okay. Like it's not this big over the top kind of thing.
Gotcha.
It's like, "Oh, I beat him." Okay.
Yeah. Oh, the game's over? Okay.
That's kind of that thing, but it's gotcha. Cool how it kind of, without giving spoilers, it kind of like plays into 1. And the ending of 1. You're like, oh, that's really cool. I didn't expect that to happen. But I could talk for days about Bayonetta. Like, I love the character. I like the Devil May Cry games. Mm. But I think the one thing with Devil May Cry games for me that I've noticed, it doesn't feel heavy.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
It feels like I whiff a lot.
Wait, sorry. In the Devil May Cry games?
Yeah, the Devil May Cry games.
Oh, like, gotcha. The older ones, right?
Even 5. Like the combos and stuff, they're fun. But if I'm not like close to the bad guy or the enemy,
oh yeah, you can't like get over to there.
I can't get over. You're doing your move and you just go straight up.
I got you.
So there's no moves I go like forward. So you have to run, move. They get hit away. You have to run at them. So it's kind of very restrictive in that sense, at least to me.
Yeah, yeah. You feel heavier. Like yeah, you're saying, yeah.
Bayonetta feels like I can just move at them and run super quick and dash at them and like quick. Like speed at them and move and combo to that guy. It's just very fluid feeling.
Okay.
And that could just be because it's platinum and like platinum's combat a lot. But I can't recommend these games enough. They're so good. The only bad thing is you can only play Bayonetta 2 on the Wii U or the Switch.
Oh jeez.
There's no other console it's at.
Yeah.
The funny thing about that is apparently when this was in development, it was Sega was funding it, but then they stopped funding it. They canceled it because they weren't
what the heck?
They weren't sold on Bayonetta.
Wow.
So the Platinum tried to like pitch it to other people, and Nintendo was really the only one that's like, okay, we'll fund you guys. We'll give you everything. But the only thing we want is that this will be an exclusiveness to Nintendo.
Oh, man. Damn.
And they're basically the only reason why Bayonetta 2 exists, so.
Yeah, that makes sense, though. But, man, but that's crazy.
Yeah.
You know, is Bayonetta 3... So is it like the series itself is totally Nintendo exclusive? Is that a thing?
So
like 3 is not coming to anything else?
I don't think so. I think it's only Switch.
Okay.
I know you can play 1 on the PlayStation and stuff like that and Xbox.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, because I was like, wait a second. I remember playing Bayonetta 1, but not on the Switch. How did that work? But yeah, that makes sense there.
Yep. So only 2, and I think 3 will be the Switch. But play it if you get the chance. They're fantastic games.
Yeah. Now, I know I think we've talked about before where like it's such like weird nonsense humor that I'm just like, oh my gosh, like it's like too over the, it's like,
yeah,
it can either be like just enough over the top or too over just the top, and I'm just like, oh my gosh.
I you also brought up the point that you played through Lollipop Chainsaw,
yeah,
and you like that, but I think this one was this one's platinum, and I can't think of the creator's name, but Lollipop Chainsaw is Suda 51.
Yeah, yeah.
So maybe you just like Suda 51 kind of
maybe no more heroes, that might be more it. And I think too, like when I think in a, I forget what episode, but like in the past when we talked about like bad games, I think I even mentioned Lollipop Chainsaw is a bad game.
Yeah.
it was like dumb fun at the time, but like it wasn't like a good game. Like, yeah, I would never go and replay it for like the platinum or anything. Just like I finished it, I'm like, all right, cool, I'm done.
Yeah.
And I think that was, what, probably back in high school or something, or maybe early college or something, when we were like going to GameStop all the time to like rent games and not rent, rent but like games. You know what I mean? We're like you buy it because it's used, and then you I don't know, you pay a few bucks for it, and then if you finish it in time, you can bring it back and get something else instead.
Yep.
So that was like one of those games for us, and I was just like, for me, where I was just like, yep, I'm done with it. I don't think I need to play it anymore. So I brought it back and I got something else. But yeah, it's just interesting, like for these types of like weird games, how just like one, they exist, and two, like sometimes they're good, sometimes they're just not. So it's cool to hear that Bayonetta is at least like pretty good.
Oh, it's so good. Maybe if you give it another shot, it'll.
I think if I can push past some of the things in there and just start to actually like just play through, probably I'll get more into it, because some of the story stuff seemed interesting. It's just when there's like the, oh my god, like I don't know how long, like 1-3 minute long cutscenes where like she's just running around or like walking around with like her stilettos and like shooting things. And I'm just
love
like
it.
I'm like, okay, like I get it, you know, like you're a witch, you've got magic powers, you're sexy, you got guns on your feet, like okay, let me play the game. And then you got the dude who's like with her, who's I think part
Rodan,
part demon or something. He's throwing her like guns like crazy.
So good.
And I'm just like, do I need this long of a cutscene? Like, man, like I really miss the time when cutscenes, like I should say, like nowadays when cutscenes like
even longer.
Mean things, and like they're not just like, you know, like kind of like weird like anime action type things where it's just all like funny like fluff kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just like, okay, let's move on, guys. Like I got the joke. Let's keep going. It's still going. Oh, okay, yeah, we're still going here.
Oh, that hurts my soul.
But that's like the early game stuff. Yeah, that's like setting the tone in a way. And that's why the tone at the time, I was like, nah.
This isn't for me.
I don't want to play this right now. I'm trying to think in terms of things that I played recently that we haven't talked about. So I think probably where it's been at is I've played, one, a lot of Scourgebringer.
Mm-hmm.
Like so much Scourgebringer lately. Because I haven't had much time to play like a bunch of different things, I was just like, all right, I'm going to beat Scourgebringer soon.
And it's a game you can just like jump into, right?
Without, yeah, like, it's a roguelike kind of game, right? So it's like you jump in there, you start going through the worlds and stuff. I finally made it to the, you know, the end of the fifth world, beat the last boss dude, annoyed that he had two like life bars for the first time. Like he was the only boss I fought so far who had two life bars. Like I beat him once and I was like, cool, I did it. And then double life bar. And I was like, gosh darn it. So and
the
I start going through again.
Games. I hate that.
Yeah, I was just like, oh, you guys suck. But I was like, okay, this is the final dude. It's all good. So I did that. And then they were, you know, it gave me like a little bit of text. And I'm like, okay, like, you know, it's kind of very like cryptic when it gives you text and whatnot. And there was either like the option to accept the judgment of what they call like Criterion, which was that last boss that you fought.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore also like the you know, the whole thing that you're in, which I think is called the Scourgebringer. You can accept the judgment or you know, shout like never at it and deny it. Right. And I denied it cause I was like, why would I accept this? And so I denied it cause I thought like, oh, if I deny it, I go on to the next boss. Right. Or I finish the game in like final boss type of thing. And then it's like, oh, like, you know, then you'll start over. And it tells me something like you'll start over from the beginning and you'll keep going until you understand. And I was like, what? And then I went through the next portal thing and I was back at the start. And I was like, oh my gosh, what did I just do? But you have to do that if you want to get to the true ending, apparently.
Okay.
If you accept it, it's like, you know, just, you know, the game is, you finish the game, but it's like the bad ending, quote unquote.
Okay.
So I did that without realizing that I have to do some other things. And I was like, oh, maybe if I just jump back into it, it'll all be good. I jumped back into it and I think I didn't make it all the way to the fifth level again. I was just like, okay, what did I do? What did I need to do here? So I started looking it up and I was like, oh, I need to go back into the upgrade tree because there's like a top level that's unlocked or that's locked until apparently you deny the judgment for the first time. And then when you do that, you can now purchase those things up there and that gets you into this secret sixth world option.
Okay.
And then to get that, you do this weird, crazy thing where you like, there's like a little bit of like, you know, dark bloody water off to the side of this like tree world that you're in. They call it the Chiming Tree.
Mm-hmm.
And once you've unlocked that option, if you, you know, dash downwards into that, you actually submerge into it finally. And underneath there's another portal. And then you go in there to activate the ability to do the sixth world.
Sounds a lot like Hollow Knight stuff.
Oh, it's crazy. but to get to that sixth world, you got to beat worlds 1-5. And I was like, oh man. So just recently I got, I think it was maybe yesterday or the day before, I went through a run got to the sixth world finally, and I was like, yes, here we go. But there's some crazy creatures in there, and I'm just like, ooh, I was already kind of at low health. This is going to be rough. So I'm going to have to take a little bit of time to go through that part to see it through to the end. So
Can you just jump into that world now since you're there?
Or no, no. So you have to go back. It's literally like, you know, if you die, you start from one and you go all the way through to six. So,
oof, man.
Yeah, so it's tough, man. You got a lot of things to manage over there. But it's to that point where I feel pretty proficient at the game as I'm kind of jumping around, dashing between enemies all the time. There's also some cool modifiers that you can activate. I don't know what the purpose of them is yet. I'm sure I could look it up, but I was lazy.
as we all are.
Yeah, right. But like, there's some cool modifiers you can add in there so that now, one of them that I added on there was when you are just about to be down to like a last like two or three enemies in a room, the next wave of enemies will spawn. Because there's always, I think, like two waves of enemies per room. And so this actually makes it better to have them spawn faster so I can get through the rooms faster, or at least it feels faster. Mm-hmm. And therefore my combo keeps up like higher as well.
Okay.
I'm not as likely to kind of lose that combo.
Right.
So that's been a nice thing to like just collect like the currency throughout the game and buy like health upgrades and stuff like that. There's also some crazy modifiers where it's like, oh, you start the game at like one health. And I'm just like, oh, no thanks, guys. No,
that's too challenging for me.
Just like, I don't want to do that. Or like other things, like if you, you know, each progressive like level you get to, like, you know, in level one, you take like one, you know, normally you take one damage per enemy hit or whatever like that. It's like each progressive level, you'd start to take more and more damage per hit. So like when you get to level six, you're taking like six damage per hit kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And the max you can have is like 20 HP. Oh. So it's not a fun time if that's the case. I know, right? It's like, this is torture over here. But it's really cool. I like I'm getting some of the like more secret story things now, because there's these weird monuments you'll find occasionally in the world. I think they call them like, it's like STEELES or something, like Stellas or Steels.
Okay.
And they, like, previously when you find them, if you haven't unlocked the top tier of the chiming tree, they just are gibberish, and there's like, you know, a button to clearly like click out of it, but it says like, I don't understand, and then you just like, you know, leave. But once you've unlocked the ability to read this, it has like messages from, you know, someone else who has been through the Scourgebringer before type of thing, and I'm like, okay, this is cool, like talking about all these creepy cryptic things. And then how somehow like knowledge is what like powers this like crazy, you know, abomination and whatnot. And I'm just like, oh, this is interesting, but I want to know what happens.
Right.
So hopefully I'll be done with that sometime soon.
Do you think this will be a platinum game?
That's going to be a tough one if that's the case.
So I'm looking at some of these trophies.
They're pretty tough.
There's like beat the ordeal without picking up any blessing. I don't know what that is. Beat the ordeal without any health bonuses, nor item, nor blessing.
Yep.
Those sound tough.
It sounds, yeah, it's pretty tough. So like, I think that, or even just like when there's some trophies in there for like a certain amount of chaos rating, which I think is having to put those modifiers on that make the game really hard.
Right.
So this might be like almost like a level of like Titan Souls kind of being difficult like that, where I'm like, I might not platinum this game, but I'll get real close.
Right. I think the last one, beat the ordeal with a score of at least 5 chaos.
Yeah.
That sounds...
So it'll be interesting trying to like get through this. I think I'll probably be close. I just need to give it a little bit more time.
Right.
But the other thing that I did manage to finish, which, you know, given the fact that it's a demo, isn't like crazy accomplishment or anything, but I finished the Tales of Arise demo.
Oh yeah, how'd you like it?
I liked it a lot.
Oh my god, it's so good, right? Holy crap. Oh my god.
I was originally like, I'm going to stay away from this. I'm not going to play it, right? Yeah. Like, I don't want to spoil myself. And I think the area they jump you into, you're like level 20 or something, 25. And I was like, okay, this is probably pretty far in. I'm probably fine. But the reason I jumped into it was because I saw on there that you get it's like a skin or like a bonus little thing for playing through the demo and beating it. And I was like, gosh darn, I got to do this.
I got to do it.
So I went through and finished it. I think... the first time I started it, I played as, I don't know his name, because I don't know their name.
The main guy?
No, I started as the guy with the darker skin and like the red hair and the staff.
Yeah, magic dude.
Yeah. His playstyle is really cool. I actually really dug his playstyle. Because they described him as more of like a like all-range character, because you have, you know, magic arts that can do like damage from further away, but then you can also use your staff, which has a longer reach than maybe like the swords and things.
Right.
And he was actually real fun to play as. I didn't realize, though, that there were no save points. So I started it at some point, maybe before, like, work or something. And I was like, oh, I gotta go. So I ended up quitting out, hoping it would autosave, and it doesn't.
Oh.
So I was like, ah, shoot. and I was actually probably somewhat close to finishing it anyways. I just had to go and fight the boss and whatnot.
Right, right.
But yeah, so when I restarted it, I started as, what's his name? Alden? Is that his name? The main dude? The guy with the white hair and the flaming sword and stuff. I forget his name too. But I started as the main guy then, and I was like, okay, yeah, his play style is really cool too. Like, yep. I'm surprised that they got so many cool, like, fighting styles in here. But yeah, playing as him, and actually went through and, you know, found all the different weapons for everybody, like the upgrade chests that are, you know, sometimes hidden, sometimes not.
Mm-hmm.
And then, fought the, you know, boss at the end. Apparently, when you fought him, did you fight two bosses or just one?
One.
Okay. So if you fight... So what I read when I was finding out about the whole, like, you know, beating the game to get that little DLC thing, was that there's a secret boss in there, apparently, where if you fight that Mantis boss character or whatever, and you beat him within, like, a time period, like 5 minutes or something, a second boss appears.
Is that worth it?
And the second boss was tough, man. I was like, what the heck is happening here? So, like, and it's kind of the thing where it's like, you know, you go and fight this Mantis dude. We beat him, and I was like, yes, we did it. And I was like, did I do it fast enough? I don't know. All of a sudden, this giant dragon-like thing, dragon demon thing pops out, and I was like, what is this?
I guess we beat it.
Yeah, we beat it. And, like, he had, I think, like, double the health of the Mantis thing. And we're already, like, you know, it's not like you're back at full health and have more items. You're just, like, there. Oof. And I was like, ooh, this is going to be tough. So I'm fighting him and stuff, and I think, I don't know, we got... maybe like a fourth of the way into it before he like killed all of us. And I was like, dang, that's tough. But if you lose that, it's not like a, you know, it's not like you lose the demo.
Right.
It just, you end up back over at the place where you got the first mission at. And the guy's like, oh, hey, like, you're back. And he's like, oh yeah, we fought that dude. And we also fought the second thing. He's like, there was a second one. and then your character's like, oh yeah. Don't worry about it though. We're fine. And then you just, you know, have this like funny moment where the main girl is like, okay, now you have to feed us, right? Like that kind of thing. And I was like, oh, I like the banter between these characters and stuff.
But I know I said before I missed the, like, the anime, like, you know how, like, you'll have those depressed triangle and you get, like, a cutscene?
Mm-hmm.
And now it's all in 3D. I don't think that's, like, a big as an issue for me anymore. I think it'll blend in well with the actual game.
Yeah, actually, the more I saw of it, the more I was actually like, I actually like this.
Yeah.
Like, it's not as, like, you know, I'd say, like, not as pretty in terms of, like, obviously, like, the 2D anime art is, like, really awesome looking usually, but it's not as, like, jarring as I was thinking it was going to be.
Yep.
Also, like, I'm actually pleasantly, like, I like the English voices so
far.
Oh,
really? Yeah.
Which I'm like, okay, thank goodness, because I didn't want to have to deal with, like, having to change there, because I've been finding lately that, like, when I do play games where it's, like, talking during action sequences and I have to read subtitles and pay attention to combat, I'm, like, now starting to realize, oh, man, I don't like doing this. Like, I have to have it in English so I can hear them. So, yeah, I'm glad that the English is working out really well so far. But, man, I'm more pumped now.
And it's coming out very soon. Like, man, I was excited, but now I'm real excited. It felt so good. 5 days, man. Five days.
Yeah. So soon. I like the crazy, like, variety they have for all the weapons and stuff too. Like your character's got the, you know, giant two-handed sword. The main girl's got her, like, sniper, magic gun sniper kind of thing.
Ray kind of thing.
Yeah, you have the, you know, classic, like, magic character with, like, the book and stuff. But then you got the dude with the staff and magic. You got the lady with the giant shield as her weapon like, crazy things there. And then you got the dude with the giant fist things. I was like, man, this is so cool.
And they all have, like, these special, like, connecting, like, moves that are, like, they're so, oh, my God.
I think... I was trying to figure out, like, how to see, like, all of them kind of thing. I think I managed to eventually see all of them when I had to restart to the second time. Because originally I was doing that, you know, those combo things. And, you know, it's a combo between, like, your character and the main girl character. I think the other one I saw originally was the shield girl and the magic staff dude. And theirs was really cool. I used theirs, I think, quite a lot. She just comes out with this giant sword from her shield. And then, yeah, it's like every time you finish things off with that, or, like, you know, finish a battle with that, there's this fun little, like, banter between, like, the characters. Like, wasn't that a little bit too much? Like, I don't think so. Oh, my gosh.
I can't wait.
So much cool stuff. And we have 5 more days, Michael. We're so close now.
I wish I had my PS5 to just
play that. Oh, man. But, well, the nice thing, you get the upgrade for free.
That's true.
Because they did it the right way.
Thank God. I will say I totally forgot one game I did play.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Sonic Colors Ultimate.
Oh.
I bought it on the PS4 because it is a weird whole story. Because I originally wanted to buy it on the Switch. Uh-huh. And I probably will buy it on the Switch physically.
Yep, yeah.
But there were things on Twitter and stuff of the game being like super glitchy and like...
Oh, dang.
Broken.
Okay. On the Switch?
Yeah, on the Switch version.
Gotcha.
So after reading it and things have come out, apparently there are glitches and audio issues slightly with the Switch things. Mm-hmm. It's not as good as the other ones. But apparently there was this guy who was like almost like hacking the game with like an emulator and making it even worse than it actually was. And that spread on Twitter. And people are like, oh, man, this game's completely broken.
Okay.
Caught wind and made it even worse. So the Switch version's not up to par with, like, the PS4 and stuff. Mm-hmm. And there's still issues with it, but it's not as bad as it was believed.
Okay. It was kind of overblown.
A little bit overblown. But it's weird because the game hasn't even released yet.
Yeah, that's what I was like, going to say. Like, isn't it not out
you
yet?
You can buy the digital deluxe
for
now. Okay. And it's, like, an extra... I think $5 or $6, maybe actually $10. But I bought it on the PS4, and I'm happy. It's Sonic. I never played Sonic Colors.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because it was on the Wii or the Wii U.
Okay.
And it might have been before or after I stopped playing those games. Mm-hmm. But it reminds me a lot of what Forces was, kind of. That same kind of like rail and then the 2D and stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Going back and forth between 2 and 3D.
And that modern Sonic banter and stuff. So I definitely wouldn't recommend for you or like anybody else who's not a Sonic fan.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm glad I got it.
Nice, nice. And that gets you access to it like how early? What if you bought the digital
the third
thing? The third? Oh, okay, gotcha. Because it comes out on the 7th?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because like you said that, I was like, that's not even out yet. Mm-hmm. How you hacking the world over here?
Because I was seeing it comes out on the 3rd, and then I was like, wait, it's not out on the 3rd. What are you talking about?
Mm-hmm.
And I saw in the store you could buy it, the deluxe. Yeah, we go, okay, sure. I'm going to buy it.
Okay, that's, I think, it seems like that's been maybe gaining a little bit more popularity
lately.
Yeah,
I think so. Because Guilty Gear Strive did it too.
Yeah, and then Sifu is doing it too.
Oh,
so
really?
If you buy the deluxe edition for that, you get it, I think, like 3 days early.
Ooh.
And I was like,
it's tempting.
I think I'm going to do it soon. there's certain games that I think that's a cool thing to have.
Mm-hmm.
And then randomly, sometimes, you know, if you buy it physically for some games, they just mess up and they send it to you early. So that works out too.
That does too.
But that's cool. That's cool. Now, where would you rank Colors Ultimate in terms of other ones that you played so far?
I haven't played enough of it to actually like rank on it, but it would be somewhere along the lines of like Forces, maybe a little bit above Forces.
Okay,
because I enjoyed Forces. Forces was like a 7 out of 10 for me.
Oh wow, okay, because I thought in my mind I was like, I thought Michael didn't like Forces.
No,
but okay,
Forces,
you did.
Forces
so
was good, yeah.
Okay, that's good.
It wasn't like anything like, oh god, this is great. It wasn't Mania levels of good.
Oh, gotcha.
But
okay,
it was okay. It was good.
All right, fair enough. Well, I think then the last thing we have is a little kind of update to the quizzes Michael will be doing over here.
Yeah, so for this side quest, when we continue doing these recordings, I'll probably do more quizzes.
Mm-hmm.
But this one,
we'll switch them up every now and then.
I wanted to do something different where I was going to pit two games against each other and then ask you which one you like better.
Ah, okay.
So let's say
like
it would be
title
like
a fight match.
Like Mario Sunshine. Or versus Metal Gear Solid 2.
Wow.
Which one do you like?
Very different games.
There's going to be some like that.
Okay.
And I want to see which one you like better. So there is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 matchups.
Oh, okay. It's spicy. All right.
12 matchups.
Oh, okay.
I missed the other one. Okay.
Gotcha.
Here we go. You ready?
All right. What are these matchups?
Some are going to be difficult, I think.
Okay.
First one, Skyrim or Resident Evil 4?
Oh my gosh, you're starting heavy,
starting
Michael.
Big.
Jeez. Oh man. Okay. I'm gonna go gut wise. Resident Evil 4.
Oh, real? Wow. Yeah. I would have not guessed. I would have picked Skyrim, but
I know. I think in my like as soon as you said Skyrim, I was like, Skyrim's gonna win. And then you said Resident Evil 4. I was like, gosh darn it.
Damn it.
Yeah, I think Resident Evil 4. Because I've actually beat the game like multiple times, whereas Skyrim I have not. I just explore all over the place for hundreds of hours.
Okay, Resident Evil 4. All right, next one. Mass Effect 2 or Golden Sun?
Oh, you suck. What the heck? What the heck, man?
Two different games.
Oh my gosh, so different. Okay, man. I think Mass Effect 2. Yeah, I think that's the correct answer.
Is it because you haven't played Golden Sun in a while kind of thing?
Maybe? I think it's just because, like, when I finished Golden Sun versus when I finished Mass Effect 2, there were kind of different levels of excitement kind of thing.
Okay.
You know, where it's like Mass Effect 2, like, finishing that game, I was just like, man, that was wild.
Yep.
And, like, Golden Sun 2, I finished it, and I was like, whoa. I finally finished this game, like, in a good way. I was just like, man, it's like that, you know, that almost kind of semi-sad feeling you get when you finish a long RPG that you liked a lot kind of thing. Where I was like, man, this is a long journey. That was crazy. But it wasn't like I was, like, itching, like, I need more. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I think I took a little bit of time before I started number two, or I started it somewhat soon afterwards. But
right.
Yeah, in terms of, yeah, Mass Effect 2 there, that ending, I was like, oh, yeah, that's crazy. The one. Yeah.
Okay. Splinter Cell.
Okay.
The first one?
Okay, the first one, okay.
Or Horizon Zero Dawn.
Splinter Cell.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
I was debating on which one, because I looked on your trophy list. I'm like, well, he trophied, I think, all of them. I'm not sure which one he liked more, so I'm just going to pick the first one.
Yeah, no, that's fair. I think the first one's a good one to choose for that. But yeah, I think I think just in terms of, like, the... Man, that's... Oh, hold on. I'm thinking real hard about this now, because Horizon's real crazy and awesome. But I think...
It lines up with more of your game style, I feel like.
Yeah. I think in terms of, like, overall kind of stuff, like... Man, this is hard, yeah. Because they were, like, two different times for me kind of thing, where, like, Splinter Cell, I played through, you know, as much as I could, renting it from Blockbuster, and then eventually got the game and, like, finished it, and then... got it later in life also, and then platinumed it and stuff. And yeah, like I could probably just go through and play Splinter Cell, like, again and again kind of thing.
Yeah.
Horizon, I don't think I've ever wanted to go back and play, or I've wanted to go back and do it, but I haven't actually done, like, the New Game Plus or anything like that, because it was like a one-time, like, special experience. And I'm just like, yeah, that was amazing.
That's all I need.
Like, and it's almost kind of like in an opposite way from the previous one, where, like, the nostalgia of this one wins out over the, like, hype factor of the crazy turns of the endings of this thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. And I think, actually, too, like, the ending of Horizon Zero Dawn wasn't as, like... It wasn't the ending that was, like, the keystone. It was, like, the twists and discoveries close to the ending. You know what I mean? It wasn't, like, the actual thing. So, yeah, it was... That's a close one. But Splinter Cell, I think, was good all the way through.
Next one, I feel like I know where this one's going. Dark Souls versus Bloodborne.
Man. I think Bloodborne is the better game.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I mean, I haven't beaten Bloodborne.
Yeah, yeah.
I beat Dark Souls, but I think Bloodborne is the better game out of the two. In my mind.
Aesthetic, would you like better?
Honestly, I like the Victorian, yeah.
Victorian...
I mean, it's way creepier and nastier.
What's the cosmic, like, horror? There you go.
Yeah, cosmic horror, Victorian kind of thing versus the, like, medieval, also gross creature kind of thing. But yeah, I think the Bloodborne, I think, is better overall.
Warms my heart there. All right, Fury versus Neo.
Oh, I was like, what game is Fury?
Wow.
When you say it, because I was thinking, like, F-R-U, or sorry, F-U-R-Y.
Y, yeah.
And I was like, what is that? But yeah, Fury with an I. Versus Neo?
Versus Neo.
Oh my gosh, what the heck, dude? That is wild.
I try to pick games that you like in both.
You matched
genres.
Them up real well so far. I think, oh man. I think Neo.
Okay.
Yeah, I think Neo. Yeah. I mean, both of those games I've gone through. No, I wouldn't say both. I went through Fury multiple times for, like, the platinum and stuff. And then Neo, I mean, I also spent, like, hundreds of hours to get the platinum. So, yeah, I think Neo is the one. It's just so varied versus Fury, which is, like, you know,
straightforward kind of.
Yeah, it's like you have the same move sets, right? And it's just getting better and better at them. Mm-hmm. Whereas, like, you know, in Neo, I started off with, like, I don't know, dual swords, learned eventually I wasn't very strong with them, and then, you know, went away from it and eventually ended up using basically all the weapon types. And then I think my favorite two that I ended up with was the Tonfa and what was the other one that I used a lot? I mean, in the beginning, after I switched from dual swords, I switched over to single sword style. But I think eventually I went back to Dual Sword and Tonefa.
It felt good, Dual Swords. And
yeah, yeah. Once you unlock more of the abilities for it, too, where you can, like, do crazy, like, slashes and stuff like that, that was a really cool thing there that kind of changed the game in terms mm-hmm. of the different weapon styles. And, man, the abilities for the Tonefa was wild. So that one's my favorite. Okay. But, yeah, Neo,
gotcha. Okay. Pokemon Silver versus Deus Ex.
Ooh, are we talking Deus Ex Original?
Original.
Okay. Or I guess it would probably be like Invisible War. Is that what you're thinking of? Like the one on the older one on the Xbox,
yes,
type of thing?
Yes, the one
okay.
before Human Revolution.
Yeah, so Invisible War then. Oh, man. I think Pokemon Silver.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Deus Ex was a milestone kind of thing in terms of like games that we played. But yeah, I think Pokemon Silver
was more.
Yeah, that was a bigger milestone, I think, okay. in that.
Minecraft versus Fortnite.
Minecraft. Okay. Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
I think that's a fast
one. I just
one,
put yeah. that one so I can hear you say that.
So you can hear me say it.
I've been
I got a lot of use out of Fortnite and Minecraft both, but I think I have more fun in Minecraft.
That's one of the games I've been playing a lot recently, but I haven't brought up because I've I've been playing the mess out of Minecraft.
Yeah. Yeah, I've been seeing like I think occasionally I'll be playing like something on the Xbox and then I'll see on there that like Michael was recently playing in Minecraft.
Yeah.
And it tells me that because I think you were playing it on the PS4, but now that it's all connected, they're just like, oh, Michael was in
Michael's
Minecraft recently. And I was like, man, we haven't played that in forever.
So addicting, man.
We gotta go back to the Minecraft realms again.
That's what I keep playing in.
Oh, nice. Okay, yeah. I gotta go back and see that then. I haven't done it in a long time.
There's some changes going on there.
Ooh.
All right. Next one. I think this one will be a little tough. Mm-hmm. Katana Zero versus mm-hmm. The Messenger.
Ooh. That is tough. I think Katana Zero.
Okay.
Yeah. I think gameplay, I mean, both of those are so tight in gameplay wise, but I think Katana Zero is a little bit better. It's a little bit more tight, if that's possible.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I think eventually when the messenger does its, you know, change kind of thing, mm-hmm. that brought me out of it a little bit where I was like, I don't really want this. Like, I don't want this change. I want to just keep on playing.
To 16-bit to like.
Well, that was actually a cool thing. But, like, there's another change that happens in there that is, like, slightly different, and it changes the game a little bit.
Oh.
And so that's when I was like, oh, man, now I'm, like, I don't know what I want to, what I'm, not what I want to do. I don't know what I'm supposed to do next,
kind of,
if that makes sense, without trying to spoil things. But, yeah, that was where I was like, okay, yeah, yeah. Now Katana Zero is just, you know, it's that straightforward kind of go through. I know exactly what I'm doing and how to get there, and mm-hmm. I have to figure it out. So I think that's the one.
And now I'm thinking about that, I should have paired Katana Zero up with this next one, but... Mm-hmm. Hotline Miami versus Shovel Knight.
Shovel Knight.
Okay.
Yeah, Shovel Knight, yeah.
Yeah.
I liked Hotline Miami, but it's also a little bit gory.
Yeah, it is very gory.
Shovel Knight is very wholesome and nice, you know.
Okay. Spider-Man PS4 or Minecraft Story Mode?
Ooh, wow. That's tough. That's actually legitimately hard.
I was trying to think of a game that I could pair with Spider-Man. I'm like, oh, he really talks highly about Minecraft Story Mode.
Yeah, that's tough. Yeah, because I really loved Minecraft Story Mode. I think Spider-Man.
Okay.
I think I still got to go with Spider-Man. Because you're honestly playing more game in Spider-Man than in Story Mode. I mean, Story Mode's story is amazing. But yeah, Spider-Man.
Okay. And then last one, mm-hmm. to seal the debate on this for all eternity.
Oh, boy.
I hope you side with what I'm hoping you're siding with. Uncharted 2 versus Uncharted 3.
What the hell? I think 3. Like 3 is better.
Okay.
I think it was like 3 is my entry point.
Oh, okay. Also. 2 is my entry point.
Yeah.
Then.
So I think that has to do with it. But also, like, yeah, like the ending of 3 was more interesting, I think, to me than the ending of 2. With Blue Sap Lazarevich and stuff.
Right.
Where I was just like,
I agree with that. I think my one thing with, I liked 3's mm-hmm. story and stuff, but 3 didn't have an ending boss. It didn't really.
Yeah, I mean, you kind of fought, what is it, whatever his name was.
Yeah.
I was going to say Dresden, that's not his name.
I can't think of his name, but, and then it was just like a run
yeah,
away before running. Things, and that was it. I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
I guess that's fine.
Yeah, and I think that was, I think like overall, I kind of enjoyed the levels of 3 more mm-hmm. than 2. Like 2, I remember being a lot of like jungle kind of areas and stuff, which is like fine. But
3 was more diverse.
Three was a little bit more diverse, and then you had the, you know, crazy like airplane scene. Like the train, yeah, I had that in there. But the train, I think when you're fighting as the train is like going and stuff, like not before the crash, but like as it's going, was frustrating.
Yeah.
As opposed to the plane fight and stuff, which was cool and kept like it moving at a decent speed, I felt like.
Mm-hmm. The boat fight in 3.
Oh yeah, yeah.
When I fight that armored dude.
Yeah, that was tough. That was probably that similar so levels much. To the train.
Yeah.
Because there was another armored dude, I think, there or something that was, I don't know, Gatling gun or something like mm-hmm. that. Super annoying. But yeah, the armored dude, yeah, that was annoying there too. But I think that just kind of adds to the diversity of 3. Mm-hmm. Where I was just like, man, that crazy like ship level where the ship is turned inside. That's the ship is basically almost kind of like the train a little bit. Like more terrifying because the pressure of the water breaking in at any moment kind of thing. That was a cool one there.
Okay, that was really fun.
Yeah, that's good. Maybe I like that.
Thank you.
All right, everybody. Well, this has been another episode of the Bros and Consoles podcast, episode 87, I believe. Nope, 86. It was 86. Oh. 87 is coming out next week.
Okay,
though.
That's right.
Next week or 2 weeks from now, one of the two. But thank you all again for the support as always. Wish you guys a very happy rest of your week. It's a weird phrase I haven't used before, but let's make it into a new thing. But yeah, I hope everybody's doing good, staying healthy, play lots of cool games while we're kind of waiting for the next episode and everything, and get ready for Tales of Arise because it's very soon.
Oh my God.
Coming out on the 10th, 5 more days. If you already have it ordered, the 9th at 9 o'clock, which I'll be starting up.
Same.
Man, just to finish it off there one more time. I didn't mention it earlier. The trailer though, like when that plays after you finish the demo, because you finished it. Right?
Yes.
Okay. So the trailer. I've heard the trailer is different based on the character you played it as.
Oh really?
Which makes me want to play more characters. Yeah, but I also bit. Don't. So I'm just
4 days.
Nah.
4 days.
Yeah, I can wait. but yeah, playing as I think Alvin is his name, maybe.
Oh, the main guy. Yes, mm-hmm. I think that's right.
But yeah, playing as the main dude and stuff, and then seeing that there's more, because I haven't kept up on the story of this thing very much, other than knowing that there's two, you know, factions that are kind of at war with each other. Somewhat, like, one is, like, enslaved, the other one's not.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, the main two characters are from opposite sides of that conflict and whatnot. I didn't know that there was this whole, like, story behind, like, this. The girl main character has some kind of, like, curse or, like, thing on her that, like, she can't be touched. And, like, when people touch her, just enormous, like, pain, like, lightning shoots out of their body kind of thing.
Yeah.
But the main dude feels no pain. And I was like, that's classic, cool. Awesome, cool anime kind
anime
of stuff.
Trope. It's always the main character.
That's
kind of
so awesome. Ability. That's, like, what I enjoy there. That's why I was like, oh, my gosh, let's just shot this up another level.
You know what
here.
That reminds me of? It's a weird take. It'll be the last thing.
Yeah.
It reminds me of a Korean drama.
Oh, boy.
That I really don't like. It's called I Am Not a Robot, where the main guy has a real disease when people touch him.
Oh, yeah. No pain. Or no sensation?
No, he breaks out in hives, and he's, like, allergic to human touch.
Gotcha.
It's, like, a psychological thing.
Yep.
But the only person who can touch him safely is the main girl.
Of course.
And they fall in love.
That's funny. But, yeah, I mean, there's cool things that are making me excited about that. I don't remember why I jumped on this. Oh, because it's coming out so soon.
Mm-hmm.
So let's get ready for it, everybody. But thanks again for coming in. If you need to contact us for anything, brosandconsoles@gmail.com. I haven't really been keeping up much on Twitter lately, so sorry about that if you guys message me at all on there. But the email, I always keep up with. So
I was there.
Easy way to do it. Until next time, though, hope you guys are staying safe and healthy, and we'll talk to y'all later.
Peace.
And cheers, everybody.